Well, let's turn in our Bibles, the Lord's Word, to Luke chapter 4. And we'll be reading this morning Luke 4, verses 14 through 44. Luke 4, verses 14 through 44. And we'll begin in verse 14. These are the words of the living and true God. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the surrounding district. And he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Then he opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all were speaking well of him, and wondering at the gracious words which were falling from his lips. And they were saying, Is this not Joseph's son? And he said to them, "No doubt you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we heard was done at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well.'" And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. And all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. And they got up and drove him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city had been built, in order to throw him down the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went his way. And he came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were amazed at his teaching, for his message was with authority. In the synagogue there was a man possessed by the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst of the people, he came out of him without doing him any harm. And amazement came upon them all, and they began talking with one another, saying, "What is this message? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. Then he got up and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God!" But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him, and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. And that's God's Word. Now, Jesus here begins His public ministry, notably, if you remember last Lord's Day and what had happened right before that. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit back in chapter 3. And then in the time with the temptation, 40 days in the wilderness, He had the Spirit upon Him. And that continues now. Jesus' ministry begins in Galilee where He taught in the synagogues. And it's implying here, as it even says, that He was doing so especially on the Sabbath day. And there at Nazareth, where He was raised, He taught from the Scriptures, from Isaiah, the prophet. And notice what He shows, that what Isaiah prophesied about was being fulfilled in Him, and He says so. And they were all speaking well of Him, verse 22. And the Spirit, again, had just come upon Jesus for what purpose? And that's what He's bringing out here when as He brought about Isaiah the prophet and spoke of it, and spoke the words of Isaiah. It was to preach the gospel to the poor, and that many would be redeemed. But among them, He also revealed that many would not listen to Him, would not come to salvation. And so here they are, they're speaking well of Him, they're praising Him in many different ways like that. And then He brings a warning to them. In verses 24 to 27, that really few would come upon hearing this Jesus. Seemingly indicating that from among these Jews, because of their hardness of heart, that many of them would not come. And rather that, here you even see, Gentiles would come. And so Gentiles would come in fulfillment of Isaiah the prophet, but the Jews not. And so those who had spoken well of Jesus and were amazed by Him, verse 28, were filled with rage at Him. And just after, it seems like a few moments. And so they want to kill Him, verse 29, they're trying to throw Him off a cliff, and yet He, because He is divine, He passed through them unharmed. It was not yet His time to suffer and die at the hands of their hands. And so then traveling to Capernaum, teaching there in the synagogue, He cast out a demon from a man. We might ask, what was the point of this deliverance from the devil? The demon, not only a pointer that this one, Christ, this one was from God. He healed and He cast out, as we have seen before in John's Gospel and the other Gospels, that's what that proves, in accordance with the promises of the Old Testament. But a pointer also, that only through Him can one be delivered from evil. It might be a small pointer when demons are cast out from people in the Gospels, but it does point that only Jesus can really do this, or by His power, as you see sometimes the apostles doing it. There, verse 41, demons were calling Him the Son of God. They know who He is, just as the devil believes the truth and just denies it. And so they know who He is. He is the Son of God. And He cast out and caused them to not speak anymore, because He was the Christ. And Jesus was continually doing these things, healing and casting out demons throughout Galilee, because He was sent to what? Preach deliverance to those who were in captivity in sin. And so there's a perfect picture. The healing of our ailments and also casting out of these demons. The perfect picture or illustration of deliverance that Christ brings from captivity and sin. And so He kept preaching in the synagogues, especially on the Sabbath day. And yet here is our Savior Christ, who took up our infirmities, who bore our diseases, who teaches us by His Word the greatness of who He truly is, in fulfillment of the prophets. And so we ought to worship Him. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we thank You in Christ, Your Son, that He by his life and by his death, his gruesome death on the cross, that we are delivered. We are delivered from our infirmities. We are delivered from our sin and slavery and captivity to it. And only through him. Even we confess before you and plead that even before our children, that is what is true. They must believe, as we must believe, in faith, the gospel that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And we pray that all here this morning would believe those facts, but not just believe them, but submit our entire lives to those truths. And we would fall upon our faces before the throne of Christ now as we worship you. Father, we are not deserving of anything good, but only of wickedness and evil and the wages of sin is what we deserve. And yet, Father, you are a gracious and merciful God. You're a just God, a merciful God. And so, Father, we plead for your justice, that you would see us in Christ as in accordance with your design and perfect plan. That you would see us in Christ. That even our prayers now, you would perfect and make it a soothing aroma in your nostrils by your Son. Father, we ask that you would see his righteousness for us and his death for us. That we would have union with Christ, not only in his life, but in his death. And also we plead in his resurrection and in his ascension and session, as you promise us. All those great benefits that we don't really understand completely, obviously, and yet we will reign with him. And so, Father, we thank you now that we can come before your throne and reign in this way, in this small way, and worshiping you, that we may reign with him. In part, as we confess and profess that Christ is our King and that there is no other compared to him. He is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and the God of Gods. And we surely have, even this day, as your people, we have sinned. And this week we have, and the week coming up, we will sin and fall short. And we will not live perfectly holy lives for you. And yet we desire that for us. We ask that you would, as you desire it for us, we would be holy. And you would cleanse us of our sin. Father, we ask for forgiveness. And we come confessing that we are sinners and we've broken your law. We've broken the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we've broken the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, of which all the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. And Father, we ask that you would spur us on to holiness and that our sins would be put to death. That your saints would appear to be as saints in the world. And that we would not just have a name calling us saints, but that as we are new creatures, as we are clothed now with the righteousness of Christ, that we would put on righteousness and put on the new self and the new creation. And that you would put that sin to death within us. Father, as we continue now in our worship, we know that our worship is not perfect. And yet, Father, we pray that you would receive it as perfect in your Son, who perfects us. And Father, we pray that you would continue perfecting us in our worship, that we would worship you as you desire, in spirit and in truth, with our hearts and according to your holy word. Lord, we need all your help. All full assistance, more than we typically use those words. Those words are not adequate, help and assistance. And so we need your full working in us and through us as your church. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.